Welcome to the First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. Now, the Wednesday service.
All of those who have chosen to dial in on the listen line, our first hymn is number 196. Now is the time approaching by prophets long foretold, when all shall dwell together, one shepherd and one fold. Now Jew and Gentile meeting, from many a distant shore, around one altar kneeling, one common Lord adore. Hymn number 196. To read from the Bible, Deuteronomy. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Malachi. And now, I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. John. The hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Luke. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heavens was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Now, when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now, when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying, That a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. Acts. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son, Jesus. In his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and almsdeeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom, when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them.
But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed. And turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. 2 Corinthians. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And I shall read correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. The physical healing of Christian Science results now, as in Jesus' time, from the operation of divine principle, before which sin and disease lose their reality in human consciousness and disappear as naturally and as necessarily as darkness gives place to light and sin to reformation. Now, as then, these mighty works are not supernatural, but supremely natural. They are the sign of Emmanuel, or God with us, a divine influence ever present in human consciousness and repeating itself, coming now, as was promised aforetime, to preach deliverance to the captives of sense and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Now, cried the apostle, is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, meaning not that now men must prepare for a future world salvation or safety, but that now is the time in which to experience that salvation in spirit and in life. Now is the time for so-called material pains and material pleasures to pass away, for both are unreal because impossible in science. To break this earthly spell, mortals must get the true idea and divine principle of all that really exists and governs the universe harmoniously. This thought is apprehended slowly, and the interval before its attainment is attended with doubts and defeats as well as triumphs. Jesus established in the Christian era the precedent for all Christianity, theology, and healing. Christians are under his direct orders now as they were then, to be Christ-like, to possess the Christ spirit, to follow the Christ example, and to heal the sick as well as the sinning. The Christian can prove this today as readily as it was proved centuries ago. Our Master said to every follower, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Heal the sick. Love thy neighbor as thyself. It was this theology of Jesus which healed the sick and the sinning. It is his theology in this book, and the spiritual meaning of this theology, which heals the sick and causes the wicked to forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learned to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. Today, the healing power of truth is widely demonstrated as an eminent, eternal science instead of a phenomenal exhibition. Its appearing is the coming anew of the gospel of on earth peace, goodwill toward men. This coming, as was promised by the Master, is for its establishment as a permanent dispensation among men. But the mission of Christian Science now, as in the time of its earlier demonstration, is not primarily one of physical healing. Now, as then, signs and wonders are wrought in the metaphysical healing of physical disease, but these signs are only to demonstrate its divine origin, to attest the reality of the higher mission of the Christ power to take away the sins of the world. Those who are willing to leave their nets or to cast them on the right side for truth have the opportunity now, as aforetime, to learn and to practice Christian healing. The scriptures contain it. The spiritual import of the word imparts this power. Now, as of old, truth casts out evils and heals the sick. This science of being obtains not alone hereafter in what men call paradise, but here and now. It is the great fact of being for time and eternity. Unless the harmony and immortality of man are becoming more apparent, we are not gaining the true idea of God, and the body will reflect what governs it, whether it be truth or error, understanding or belief, spirit or matter. Therefore, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. If we wish to follow Christ's truth, it must be in the way of God's appointing. Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also." The purpose and motive to live aright can be gained now. This point one, you have started as you should. You have begun at the numeration table of Christian Science, and nothing but wrong intention can hinder your advancement. Working and praying with true motives, your Father will open the way. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Christ, as the spiritual or true idea of God, comes now, as of old, preaching the gospel to the poor, healing the sick, and casting out evils. Christ, as the true spiritual idea, is the idea of God now and forever, here and everywhere. Suffering is no less a mental condition than is enjoyment. You cause bodily sufferings and increase them by admitting their reality and continuance as directly as you enhance your joys by believing them to be real and continuous. When an accident happens, you think or exclaim, "I am hurt." Your thought is more powerful than your words, more powerful than the accident itself, to make the injury real. Now reverse the process. Declare that you are not hurt and understand the reason why, and you will find the ensuing good effects to be in exact proportion to your disbelief in physics and your fidelity to divine metaphysics, confidence in God as all, which the scriptures declare him to be. The matter physician deals with matter as both his foe and his remedy. He regards the ailment is weakened or strengthened according to the evidence which matter presents. The metaphysician, making mind his basis of operation irrespective of matter, and regarding the truth and harmony of being as superior to error and discord, has rendered himself strong instead of weak to cope with the case, and he proportionately strengthens his patient with a stimulus of courage and conscious power. Both science and consciousness are now at work in the economy of being according to the law of mind, which ultimately asserts its absolute supremacy. If sin, sickness, and death are as real as life, truth, and love, then they must all be from the same source. God must be their author. Now, Jesus came to destroy sin, sickness, and death. Yet the scriptures aver, I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Is it possible then to believe that the evils which Jesus lived to destroy are real or the offspring of the divine will? Truth casts out error now, as surely as it did 19 centuries ago. Do you say the time has not yet come in which to recognize soul as substantial and able to control the body? Remember Jesus, who nearly 19 centuries ago demonstrated the power of spirit and said, He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And who also said, But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, said Paul. The true sense of being and its eternal perfection should appear now, even as it will hereafter. Let us join together in a few moments of silent prayer and then repeat audibly the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. The next hymn is 406. O love, our mother ever near, to thee we turn from doubt and fear. In perfect peace our thoughts abide. Our hearts now in this truth confide. Man is the child of God. Hymn number 406.
Oh, Lord, I see.
joy that ever will remain, mid seeming sorrow and pain. And it's the love of love. A reminder about Sunday church services are at 10:30, and the church auditorium is available for those who wish to attend in person, and then obviously you're welcome to dial into the listen line. And also, Sunday school for all ages is available now, the same time as church service. And the reading room, located at 21 West Main Street in the Arts and Design District, is now open Tuesday through Saturday, 1 to 4. And also a reminder about the Indiana Inspiration phone line, area code 317-854-8484. By dialing that, you can access the weekly Bible lesson, the Sentinel Watch program, the Daily Lift, the El Geraldo program, and information about events and activities. And that number again is 317-854-8484. And now it's time for you to have the opportunity to share experiences and remarks and healings as a result of your study of Christian Science.
Thanks for your readings. Bob and I had the chance this morning. We had signed up for Madeline Maupin's Bible day on Genesis, and we weren't able to watch it on the particular day that it was presented, but you can replay it at any time. And we listened to half of it this morning, and it was on Genesis. And if you have an opportunity, you can go ahead and sign up for this. I think it's $25 to listen to it. It was amazing. So much history and so much background that I never knew about Genesis. And the history of the underlying theme being the exile to Babylon, it just was unbelievable. In fact, it's so unbelievable, I've got to listen to it again because it was so deep. But it is so enriching to learn the history of our Bible and to understand the layers. I just feel like I'm finding more and more layers to the Bible. So if you have an opportunity to do that, it is quite a commitment of time. But I really like, this was the first time we had listened to the replay instead of listening to it live. And I like it much better because you can pause it and talk about it. We can talk about it or whatever we want to do, need to do. So it really is a gift that she is giving out to everyone. And I just encourage anybody to take advantage of that. Secondly, I gave this sort of this testimony to the Bible study group on the metaphysical group that we met on Friday, but it was just so totally today. I got another caring bridge about Margot, and basically what I had shared on Friday was that I had listened to a lecture by Doyle. Lawrence Doyle, and that it had given me some insights about true spirituality, and that I had gotten last week a caring bridge on Margot. And during this time that I got this insight, I just was filled with so much. Margot came to thought, and I just knew her true identity and her true spirituality. And I felt for just a second, I had a glimpse of what people experience when they really recognize the fact that there is no matter. Then last week we had gotten an email from Christy saying that her platelet counts were unusually high, and they had been thinking that they were going to have to delay her very last treatment, that they were elated, and they wanted to send out these orange hearts for us all to sign and to celebrate the fact that this was her last treatment, and then she gets some scans, and if everything looks great, then she gets to ring the bell. That's their ceremony, and then they do celebrate with other things, which Christy's doing with Orange Hearts and everyone that has been involved in her long journey here is going to be signing these hearts and giving her a message of congratulations. I got another update from the Caring Bridge today, and it's a definite go tomorrow. It will be her last treatment, and the elation that I could tell in my son's, how happy he was that this journey is going to be over. I just was so touched with that Caring Bridge, and know that she's on her way to the end of this. I just wanted to share that I did include the lecture that was very meaningful to me in the last email that I sent out to everybody about our metaphysical meeting on Friday. And that's only an hour obligation to listen to that, but it's definitely worth it. And you can't listen to it too many times, because it just you just pick up something else the next time you listen to it. So anyway, I'm very, very, very grateful for Christian Science and how that it has supported this whole journey since January. And I just wanted to share those two things.
Thank you very much. Gratitude. I brought the edition of the Christian Science Sentinel from September 28th. And there's a testimony that I am prepared, several testimonies, but interrupt me if anybody wants to give a testimony here in the church. This is a testimony from Christian Harder in Norwood, Massachusetts. And it's titled, it's a good follow-up for the previous testimony. It's titled, "I Got Your Back." It's not an expression I normally use. I'm much more likely to say, "I'll take care of you," or "I'm looking out for you." I also remember only one time that "I've got your back" was said to me. It's something I'll never forget, but not just because it's become a familiar turn of phrase. It was about 3 a.m. I couldn't sleep. In fact, I'd hardly slept for days. I was traveling and starting just before I'd boarded an overnight flight 3 days earlier. I had been suffering from back pain. Now I was lying on an uncomfortable hotel bed just a few hours before attending a day-long presentation in an uncomfortable auditorium setting. I felt desperate. Spells of back pain were nothing new to me. For a few years, they had overtaken me every month or two, but they had always passed after a few hours or at most a day. Each time I had prayed, as I've learned to do in Christian Science, affirming my status as God's perfect spiritual idea, loved and maintained by Him. And those prayers to understand that my God-given health is not subject to material conditions and circumstances always put an end to the pain. Still, I felt that this issue had not really been healed, because the pain would always return a few weeks later. Healing in Christian Science is permanent, something I knew from my own experience and from testimonies of healing that I'd heard in Wednesday evening meetings at Churches of Christ Scientists around the world. Lying in that hotel room, I was at a loss. I had been praying for days, but without any apparent results. I was worried that I wouldn't be able to get across town for the presentation the next day, the only reason for my trip. I remember mentally addressing God, quote, I don't know what to do. I've tried everything. I don't want to give up, but I'm stuck. What should I do?" End quote. The answer that came was completely unexpected. Quote, "I've got your back." End quote. This inspiration was accompanied by a feeling of overwhelming love. In that moment, I realized that what I had needed to do, what I had finally done in that moment of desperation, was to recognize that God always protects me and all of his children. God's love doesn't depend on our prayers. At that moment of surrendering my well-being to God's care, I was instantly well. I immediately fell asleep, waking refreshed a few hours later. I had no trouble getting to the meeting and did not experience a moment of discomfort all day. In fact, in the four years since, my back has not given me any trouble. It would be easy to read this and wonder how prayer leads to healing in Christian Science if God's love is not influenced by our prayers. The answer is simple. While our prayers do not change God, the perfection of God's creation, or God's tender love for all of us, they do open our thought so that we can experience the blessings of that love. As the discoverer of Christian Science, Mary Baker Eddy, writes in No and Yes, quote, "Prayer can neither change God nor bring his designs into mortal modes, but it can and does change our modes and our false sense of life, love, and truth, uplifting us up to him." End quote. That was page 39 from No and Yes. I am deeply grateful for God's love, for the knowledge that God does indeed have my back, and to Mary Baker Eddy for sharing this science with all humanity. Christian Harder from Norwood, Massachusetts. And then I'll share another one, another testimony from the Sentinel. "Praying for the world brings healing of flu symptoms. Is it possible to be benefited ourselves when praying for others? Yes. If such prayer is motivated by genuine compassion and love, it will inevitably bring blessings and healing to us as well." Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer of Christian Science, contained this wonderful teaching, quote, "The rich in spirit help the poor in one grand brotherhood, all having the same principle or father. And blessed is that man who seeth his brother's need and supplieth it, seeking his own in another's good." And that is from page 518. I will never forget the way the truth of this statement was illustrated to me one Saturday when I was battling flu symptoms that were getting increasingly worse, despite the fact that I had been praying about the condition for several days. I love to turn to God for healing of problems of any kind, and I'm grateful to have seen consistent, reliable, and beautiful healing from this prayer in Christian Science. I've been healed of sickness, found employment, and seen broken relationships mended. Beyond these practical benefits, I particularly cherish the feeling of God's love for me that comes when I turn to him in prayer. Every one of us can feel this wonderful love. The Bible teaches that God is love and teaches of his unchanging care and love for all his children. Christian Science explains that this loving God is entirely good. Science and Health states, "The Christian Science God is universal, eternal, divine love, which changeth not and causeth no evil, disease, nor death." And that's from page 140. God nurtures and cares for us and meets our every need. And recognizing the spiritual fact of God's infinite goodness and power brings healing. Having prayed on and off about this problem with no apparent results on this particular Saturday morning, I took a pillow and comforter out to the living room and put them on the couch, planning on staying there all day. I intended to sleep on and off as I carried on as many of my business activities as I could by telephone and computer. It looked as if it would be a day of barely getting by. But a turning point came when I did something at lunchtime that I love to do over meals. Pray for our community, our state, and the world. I did not pray for myself or do any other work. I spent the whole lunch praying for the community and the world. My prayers included affirming that God and His goodness and love are present everywhere to guard and guide us and to lift hate, envy, doubt, and fear. That because God is also the divine mind. He is the source of infinite intelligence expressed in all of us, including those in government. These are spiritual truths I have seen proved in my own life and which I love to apply more broadly as well. I was very inspired by these prayers that day. I had not thought of my ailment even once during lunch, but had been completely absorbed in my prayers. When I got up from lunch, I realized to my great surprise that all the symptoms, including weakness and weariness, had disappeared. I was completely well, and I felt rejuvenated and joyful. I put the comforter and pillow away, confident that this healing was complete. And so it proved to be. This healing reminded me of something Mary Baker Eddy once wrote in a letter to congregants of the First Church of Christ Scientist in Boston. Quote, learn to forget what you should not remember, viz. Self, and live for the good you do. End quote. Mary Baker to Septimus J. Hanna, January 15, 1895. The Mary Baker Eddy Collection from the Mary Baker Eddy Library. In fact, the grip of illness had been broken in my thought when I turned away from inward and self-centered thinking and instead let my thought be filled with the love that is God and with love for my fellow men and women. As I recognized and established in my own thought that the reign and government of God, eternal good, are truly present and active in our community, our state, and the world, this government became apparent in my own thought and life, bringing complete freedom from the illness. What a grand opportunity we each have to be a healing influence in our communities and the world, and in the process bring great blessings into our own lives. And that was from Martha Moffat in Dinah, Minnesota. Are there any other desires to share? If not, why don't we sing hymn number 438, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a soul like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Hymn number 438.
So
Thank you for listening to First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. You can join us any Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. at our church located at 116th and Haverstick Road in Carmel. Or give us a call on the listen line, 317-688-9898. 317-688-9898. Thanks again for listening.